Welcome back to the Roundtable. Susan Meisner is the acclaimed author of Secrets of a Charmed Life and A Bridge Across the Ocean. Her new novel, As Bright as Heaven, is set in Philadelphia during the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918, which tells the story of a family reborn through loss and love. As Bright as Heaven is the story of a mother and her daughters who find themselves in a harsh world, not of their making, which will either crush their resolve to survive or purify it. Susan Meisner is a former managing editor of a weekly newspaper and an award-winning columnist. Again, the title of the new novel is As Bright as Heaven, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Susan Meisner to the Roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A delight.
Thanks so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
I appreciate you being on the program. Give us a sense of what brought you to this subject of the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic.
Well, when I was researching to come up with a book idea for this year, 2018, I came across Spanish flu because I knew it would be the centennial year. It's been 100 years since that particular pandemic. And so I was looking at it to see if there was possibly a compelling story idea there, because I didn't know much about it, to tell you the truth. I only knew that we had a pandemic of Spanish flu in 1918. But as I was reading about it, I came to understand that, you know, 50 million people died of Spanish flu, which is a staggering number. More people died of Spanish flu in 1918 than did in the World War that was going on at the same time. And it affected whole families, mothers, fathers, young people, infants, old. It didn't discriminate based on your age or, your physical health. And it was devastating to many family lines. And so for that reason, I thought there is a compelling story here and one that needs to be remembered, to tell you the truth.
When you look at you know of the pandemic, you know of the anniversary. So then how then do the fictional juices start flowing as to what makes a good story here?
Well, for me, whenever you have ordinary people like you and me put into extraordinary circumstances like this was, I think you have the makings of a great story, because it was a true event. It really did happen. And so even though my characters are fictional, I made them up, their story could have been real because there were so many other stories happening all around that were just like that. It's part of the fabric of our humanity to rise above our circumstances and find strength we didn't have and make choices we didn't think we could make and survive what we didn't think we could survive. And so for that reason, I felt like it was just a very compelling place and plot to craft a story around.
Tell me about why Philadelphia.
I chose Philadelphia. I could have picked any number of cities, actually, but I chose Philadelphia because it was one of the harder hit American cities. 12,000 Philadelphians died in the span of about a month in the fall of 1918. And it began for them with a parade, which was supposed to be a very happy patriotic event to fund and end the war. It was a Liberty Loan parade. And they decided to hold it, even though they knew that Spanish flu was popping up and down the coast, on the East Coast. They held it anyway. It was outside. I think they thought perhaps we'll be okay having this very... I mean, they knew thousands would attend, and thousands did. Actually, over 100,000 people came to that parade, and 3 days later, 100 of those people were dead. And that number would just grow exponentially every day, such that in 10 days after the parade, hundreds were dying every day, and thousands upon thousands of Philadelphians were sick with it.
When you look at this story, it is a story of a family. And tell us a little bit about this family and how they come to this time and place.
Well, I chose to give the story idea to a family because I really like having close human relationships in my novels. I feel like they are what make people turn pages, really, is imagining themselves in one of these relationships. And this is mother and her daughters. And I wanted these four people to have their point of view told. And so in alternating chapters, the mom and her three daughters, who are 15, 13, and 7, narrate this story. And they're living above a funeral home. The dad is an undertaker. He's new at it. He came into the business because his uncle wanted to train him in his mortuary business to have him be his partner and heir because he's childless. And so they're all kind of new to this arena of death, if you will. and they've only been there for a few months when the flu hits. And so they're watching it unfold below them because the funeral parlor is in the first floor of the home. And because of their ages and their temperaments, they're viewing this very same setting differently and giving their own, perspective on what is happening to the world.
In that perspective of what's happening to the world, I mean, we sort of look at it as what our perspective is when we look back. But obviously, as they're seeing the devastating effects of this pandemic, of course, those of us reading the novel, we see how it affects a family in its totality. But you also see it almost as it's happening, right, as in real time.
Yeah, it is a story about the pandemic. I tried to make that as factual as I could. I didn't bend the truth in that way. And so in some ways, part of the book is very sad, but it's also, I feel, life-affirming. I didn't want the book to read heavy or sad or depressing, even though the Spanish flu was deadly and terrible. But I wanted there to be a feeling of hope and resiliency threaded throughout. And so rather than it being a story about death, I like to think it's a story really about how precious life is and the fact that it's because we're mortal that life is so precious. If we didn't know our days were numbered, we wouldn't really care how we spent them. And so my hope is that people who read it will have a new appreciation for just the beautifulness of life itself.
The title of the book is As Bright as Heaven. This is also the name of the family, Pauline and Thomas Bright. Tell us about this couple.
Well, they are from the rural area of Pennsylvania, just outside Philadelphia. The dad grew up on a tobacco farm. That was his life. His father and grandfather and his brothers are all in the tobacco business. And so what he knows is farming. What he knows is bringing life out of the earth. And so now he's switching gears and putting the remnants of life back into the earth. So it's kind of an inversion for him. He's a good man. He's good to his family. He wants to give them a good life. They leave what you might consider the safe confines of the country to come to the bustling city of Philadelphia. And, of course, all of this happens, and they are powerless, this couple, to protect their children from what is happening. And I think that's part of the reason why they struggle after they are there is realizing that you only have so much control. Even if you want to do the best by your family, there are going to be things that happen that you cannot control. And I think that's probably a lesson that all of us have to learn at some point or another, that there comes a point where the situation is going to be bigger than you are.
Again, the name of the novel is As Bright as Heaven. And when you talk about their business, their business is a funeral home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that obviously plays into this of the impact of death.
Right. When I was researching that bit of it, because I knew nothing about the mortuary business, I found some really good textbooks that kind of explained what it was like to be an undertaker 100 years ago. And the term mortician came about a little bit later. So 100 years ago, many of them were still being called undertakers. And they really had a very important social role in our society, and they still do. And that is giving the living a chance to say goodbye. The mortician prepares the body so that it looks presentable, like the way you remember that person the last time you saw them, and it allows the people who loved them to come and say goodbye. So really the funeral, of course, is for the survivors. And during the pandemic, it was so bad, the Philadelphia city official said no more funerals because of the risk involved and people gathering to attend one. And so even that last little thing that we had that enabled us to say goodbye, that was taken from this community for a period of weeks at a time when you needed it most. And so this sacred role that the mortician or undertaker had, it changed from being the person to facilitate a tender goodbye to just how can we get these bodies in the ground as fast as we can.
There is also, and I don't want to give too much away, but there's also an orphan in this story.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that the orphan, and I'll just say really quickly that the family takes in an orphan, a child who's orphaned by the flu. And that, for me, was like kind of a turning point where the family needed some hope, and it came in the form of this child who needed a home, they had one to give, and they kind of all pinned their hopes on this child, because when you emerge from a devastating time like that, it's good to hook your eye on something in the future that reminds you that life goes on, and it came in the form of this orphan child.
The name of the new novel is As Bright as Heaven. It is published by Berkeley Hardcover. Susan Meissner, I thank you very much for spending time with us. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Best of luck with the novel.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Susan Meissner's As Bright as Heaven, published by Berkeley Hardcover.